If you want to share what the Lord has laid on my heart, I'm going to be reading this morning from the book of Mark. Amen. Mark chapter 13. And we're going to begin reading with the 28th verse. So Mark chapter 13, reading beginning with the 28th verse. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus says here, in Mark chapter 13, verse 28, learn now a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see all of these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. And verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. And I love this 31st verse. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly, finding you asleep. And this morning I want to key in on that 37th verse. And Jesus said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now I'm going to stop reading right there for just a moment. If you would, please bow your heads and let us pray together and ask the Lord for his anointing in ministering this word. Father, we are thankful this morning. We are thankful and we are grateful for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt as we have lifted up your name in worship. Lord, we come to the reading of the word of the living God, and I pray this morning, Lord, that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word. Of my own self, to minister what you have placed upon my heart, I am inadequate. I ask you for your anointing. I ask you to enable me. Help me to be an effective minister of the word of the living God this morning. I pray that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would put your word in my mouth, that you would let it come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit with simplicity where everyone may hear and understand, and with such power that it impacts us and changes us from the inside out. I pray above all things that Christ will be glorified. As we minister the word, I pray that his people will be edified as your word comes forth. Give me now, Lord, unction to function. Bless me to be a blessing. And for all of these things, Lord, we will forever eternally give you the praise and forever give you the glory. And we ask him in the wonderful, the mighty, and the awesome name of Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen, amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Are You Watching This? Are you watching this? This morning, in the context of the verses that we have shared, Jesus is talking about a moment in time when he will return when he will come again. He is warning us that no man knows the day or the hour. He says, no man, no angel, not even himself. He himself does not know the hour. The Father only knows that moment. Jesus is warning us that there will come a moment in time, a moment that no one is aware of except God the Father himself. And he said, when that moment comes, he is going to return. He is going to return. And so in light of that, he tells us that we need to continually and diligently and persistently be watching. We are to be alert and attentive and prepared and observant. How many of you know that totally does not describe the condition of our world? There are so many that are caught up with so many different things. They are not watching. They are not waiting. They are not looking. They are not observant. They are not prepared. But Jesus said that the wise servant will be attentive and will be alert and will be looking and will be mindful, ever mindful, that this could be the moment, this could be the day, this could be the hour that he returns. We are to be watchful. Jesus concludes the verses that we have read this morning by saying, and what I say unto you, I say unto all. Don't think for a moment this morning that the word doesn't apply to you. What I say unto you, I say unto all, unto everyone. Live like he could come in the next moment. Act like he could come in the next moment. Have your heart prepared and ready to stand before the Son of Man, because he could come in the next moment. Watch and pray. He says, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. In fact, I submit to you this morning that his words that he spoke to us are not a suggestion, but a commandment, an instruction, a directive. Watch. We are to be a people that are watching. I believe this morning that we are to be a people that have one eye on the things that we need to take care of in the world and one eye upon the things of heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. We know this morning that our adversary is relentlessly and ever working to hinder and to distract us and to sidetrack us from serving the Lord. We know that he is striving to discourage and striving to defeat us and striving to cause us to throw up our hands and throw in the towel. So we need this morning to ever be mindful. We must be watchful that Jesus is coming back. And the Bible tells us that he is coming back in an hour that we think not. Somebody said, well, I believe that he's coming, but I don't know about today. Could be right. I mean, it could be the perfect time, because he's coming in an hour that we think not. An hour that we think not. What does it mean this morning to be watchful? Amen. I begin to kind of search and begin to look for definition of the word watch. It means to be alert. It means to be observant and to be vigilant with our attention. To be vigilant with our attention. We must remain wide awake in a world where the enemy is striving to rock us to sleep. We must be vigilant and remain spiritually awake and spiritually alive. Spiritually walking and not be caught off guard. How many of you have ever been caught off guard? Totally unaware. My wife has been ironing some cloth napkins for an upcoming wedding reception. Her old iron gave out on her. And so she bought herself a brand new, beautiful iron. Last Sunday, she brought the ironing board into the living room, sat down on one area of the living room, broke out her brand new iron, and she was ironing these napkins that are going to be used at the wedding reception. And Sundays, for me, I always rise really early on Sunday morning, so I will have some extra time to pray and extra time to study. So Sunday, for me, Sunday afternoon is a great time for a nap. Right? So we were watching, last Sunday, we were watching a preseason football game, and I already knew the outcome of the score. So I really wasn't, I was just watching the game as it unfolded, but I just kind of laid back in the recliner and I went, oh, hey, this feels pretty good. And so I kind of started drifting off into la-la land, if you will, and somewhere between consciousness and drifting off to sleep, my wife found a brand new button on her iron. It said steam. And she hit that button, and I promise you, it sounded like a Komodo dragon coming through the living room. This thing shot out a plume of steam that just literally brought me out of my hide. I mean, here I am drifting off to sleep, and she hit that button, and I mean, it startled me, and I came straight up out of that chair. I will confess, I said, baby, please don't hit that again. Amen. But that's exactly, it caught me completely unaware, but that's exactly how the coming of the Lord is going to be. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen in a moment that we think not. It's going to happen when we least expect it. It could come in the midnight hour. It could come in the wee hours of the morning, or it could come in the noonday. But the truth of the matter is, we may not know the day, we may not know the hour, but he is coming again. And rest assured, we must be watching. We must be prepared. We must be alert and attentive and watching for his return. This past week, the Lord began to lay upon my heart several things that we need to be keeping an eye on. Are you watching these? Are you watching this? Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart five areas that I want to bring to our attention here this morning. Five areas that we need to be watchful of. The first area that I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about is we need to be watchful of our attitude. Our attitude. We need to be watchful of our attitude. Webster's Dictionary defines attitude as a complex mental state involving beliefs, feelings, values, and disposition that causes us to act in a certain way. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to testify, but how many of you have ever copped a bad attitude? Noreen's like, put me down. Yeah. I confess, when that steam went off, I was really close. Winston Churchill said that an attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Scott Hamilton, the gold medalist Olympian, he said, the only disability in life is a lousy attitude. Let that sink in. The only disability in life is a bad attitude. Charles Swindoll, said, I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. I told my boys as they were growing up, all three of them, I always told them, I said, listen, you cannot control what people do, but you can control how you react to it. Hello? That's the way with our attitude. There's another guy you might recognize. His name is Gary White. And I have always said your altitude will only reach the level of your attitude. Your altitude, your success level will only achieve what your attitude will allow it to achieve. Amen. If you have a lousy attitude, I promise you it's not going to get you very far. I wonder how many people are not in the church today and do not give Christ a chance in their life because they met some church people that had a lousy attitude. Oh, help me, Jesus. I promise it'll get better. We can either have a positive attitude or a negative attitude. Amen. We can either have a positive attitude or we can have a negative attitude. And our attitude this morning makes all of the difference in the world. The negative attitude has the woe is me syndrome. Everyone is out to get me. How many of you have ever met somebody that had an attitude that looked at life as just one bad experience after another, and then you finally die? I've met people just like that. Hello? I've met some folks who are the negative attitude looks at everything through the lens of Murphy's Law. You know, the anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And then they always add, because it always does. Well, let me just tell you right now, you got exactly what you were expecting. Hello? Amen. Don't be surprised because you got just what you were expecting to get. I think sometimes we need to raise our level of expectation. Begin to have some faith in our God, the one who said that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose, the one who said that no weapon that's formed against us will be able to prosper. Amen. A person with a positive attitude looks for the rainbow after the rain, looks for the sun after the night, looks for the silver lining in every cloud, looks at the glass half full. Well, let me just ask you this morning, which attitude are you? Watch your attitude, because it can positively infect your spirit and lift you up and give you hope, or it can drag you down if you allow it to. We need to watch our attitude. Are you watching this? Let me just spend a few minutes here about attitude. Amen. There are several aspects of attitude. We can have either a positive attitude or a negative attitude. But let me just share a few other things that I think we need along in our attitude. I believe that we need an attitude of gratitude. We need to have a heart of thanksgiving. We need to have an attitude that is thankful for the things that God has blessed our lives with. You know, there are so many people in this world that can't enjoy what they have because they don't have what somebody else has. Well, let me just stop that right here for a moment and just tell you, if you'd spend a little more time being grateful for what you do have and what instead of what you don't have, God just might open the windows of heaven and give you something a little bit more. We need to have an attitude of praise. Psalms 104. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. Amen. and be thankful unto him. Psalms 95 and verse number 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord with psalms. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Doesn't that sound like somebody that's having a wonderful time in the presence of their God? Amen. We should have an attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of thanksgiving. Thank God that he's blessed our life with the things that he's given us. We may not have, amen, everything that we need in the bank account. We may not have every kind of toy that we want. But oh, thank God, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our past has been forgiven, and our future has been secured. And God is our Father. Amen. That's worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We need to have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving, and an attitude of praise. Watch your attitude. The third thing that I think that we need to in bring into that realm of attitude is an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility. Recognizing that everything that we are and everything that we have is not because of our own genius, not because we are so wonderful. No, everything that we have and everything that we are is not because of how good we are, but because of how good he is. We don't have anything that he did not bless us with. We don't have anything that he did not give unto us. The Bible said that he opens his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living soul. I will tell you right up front this morning, I am nothing that he did not make me, and I have nothing that he did not give me. Everything that I am, everything that I will ever be, and everything that I will ever have is because of the generosity and the goodness of my God. We need to have an attitude of humility. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, or shall be brought low, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted, shall be lifted up. James chapter 4, verse number 6, it said, wherefore saith he, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Amen. Our attitude, we shouldn't really think more of ourselves than what we really are. Hello? We should not be lifted up in pride, thinking, you know, boy, I am really cracking the world. It's mine. Like the old song, and I'm dating myself, I got the tiger by the tail. Hello? And admit it, in the back of your mind, you heard Buck Owens. I've got a tiger by the tail. Well, we really shouldn't think more of ourselves than what we are. We all need to understand that we have faults and that we have shortcomings and that we are flawed, and we all need to understand that we are only saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and everything that we have and everything that we are and everything that we ever will be will simply be because he is good. Have a spirit of humility, an attitude of humility. The fourth thing that I want to talk about this morning about attitude is a critical attitude. Have you ever met someone that had a critical attitude? And they were critical of everything and everybody. And nobody can do anything right except, of course, themselves. Right? Ever met anybody? Well, this is not a good time to poke your wife or your spouse. Just look straight ahead. That right there is a good word, folks. I have met people that had that kind of critical attitude. Nobody could do anything right, mainly because they didn't do it the way they thought they ought to do it. Hello? Amen. And I will tell you, that critical attitude, if you allow it to get into your heart, get into your spirit, you will be critical of everything and everybody. You'll be critical of everything and everybody. And I've met people that were just like that. I mean, they didn't like the way you dress because you didn't dress like them. And you didn't, amen, they didn't like the way you talk because you didn't talk like them. And they didn't like the way that you did it because you didn't do it like them. Well, let me just give you some theology this morning. Amen. God made us all different. He makes about billions and billions of snowflakes every year, and they're none of them the same. God makes all of us unique and different. I saw that. Amen. And to think that everybody ought to be like us is baloney. It's baloney. God called all of us to be different. We are all unique. Not everybody is going to do it like you do it. So don't allow your critical heart or your critical attitude to begin to look down upon them and to think that they are something less than you are just simply because they don't do it like you do it. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1, or chapter 7, verse number 1. He said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Don't look down your nose at somebody. "Judge not, lest you be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet," in other words, what measure of judgment you put out, that's the same heaping measure that you're going to get back. And then I love what he goes on to say. He says, "And besides that, why do you behold a splinter in your brother's eye when you got a log in your own eye?" Hello? He said, get rid of the log or the beam that is in your eye, and then you'll be able to clearly see how to help your brother get the splinter out of his eye. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, don't allow your attitude to become one of critical judgment against those who are different than you are. Amen. God loves each one of us. We must have an attitude check. Are you watching this? Are you watching your attitude? Because I promise you, others are. Hello? I said, I promise you others are. Do we have a negative or a positive attitude? Do we have an attitude of gratitude? Do we have an attitude of humility? Do we have a critical attitude toward others that don't measure up to our standard? What I'm saying this morning is the first thing that we need to be watchful of is we need to be mindful of our attitude. I just thought about it this morning. Some of us ought to just speak to our spirit, speak to our heart, and just say, attitude check. Because I just imagine that there's some places we could make some improvement. Can you say amen? Attitude. The second thing that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart is we need to watch our motives. We need to watch our motives. What motivates us to do what we do? And I will just tell you right up front this morning, there are many people who do wonderful things for the kingdom of God, but they do it for the wrong reason. They do it with the wrong motive. They do it for the applause of men instead of the approval of God. We need to watch our motives. What motivates us to do what we do? And that goes for what we do as far as our gifts and our talents for the church and what we give in the offering, what we do for the kingdom of God. What motivates us to do those things? Are we doing it for a pat on the back? Because I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're doing it for the pat on the back, you may get your pat on the back, but that is all you are ever going to get. Because God does not award or reward selfish motives. Amen. We need to make sure that what we are doing, we do for the approval of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1 said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have your reward." That's it. That pat on the back, you're done. If that's what motivates you to do it. Jesus said, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. What I'm saying this morning is that we must do what we do from a pure heart. We must have a pure heart that motivates us. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I want you this morning just to check your motives and make certain that what you are doing, you are not doing because it is self-serving, but that it is doing it as unto the Lord. Because that's the only thing that matters, is whether we are motivated to bless the Lord. And there are many this morning that are willing to promote something as long as there is something in it for themselves. They'll get behind the program. Hello? But I'm here to tell you, our motive must be to further the kingdom of God. Our motive must be to be a witness to others and lead others to Christ. Our motive must be motivated by love, a love for Jesus, a love for the kingdom of God, a love for others who are perishing. God, help us to weigh our motives, because I tell you this morning, God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the inside, and he judges the heart. There is a story in your Bible. Jesus and his disciples are standing in the temple and they are taking up the offering, and there are those that are walking by and casting in much. They're casting in great wealth. And Jesus is watching the whole scene. And a little widow comes by and puts in two mites. Just two mites, pennies. And Jesus looks at his disciples and said, "I tell you this, she has given more than all of them put together." Well, did she really monetarily put in more than all of them put together? No. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, "I'm looking at the motive. I'm looking at the sacrifice. I'm looking at what's in her heart. And in her heart, she has given more than all of them put together." Weigh our motives. Are you watching this? Are you watching your motives? Number three, are we watching our thoughts? Are we watching our thoughts? Let me just tell you this morning that the battle with the enemy begins in our mind. The mind is the battlefield. And when you sow a thought, you will reap an act. And when you sow an act, you will reap a habit. And when you sow a habit, you will reap a destiny. But it all started with a thought. The Bible said in Proverbs 23:7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Be careful what you allow to lodge in your thought process. It all starts with a thought. And the truth of the matter is, we all have inappropriate thoughts. We all have thoughts that bombard our mind from the enemy. And the truth of the matter is that it is up to us what we allow to remain and allow to stay in our mind. Let me just tell you what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And he goes on and says, and bringing into captivity. Bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. In other words, if there is a thought that enters our mind, then it is up to us to bring that thought into captivity and either allow it to stay or allow it to go. If you allow a bird to build a tree and a nest, it'll build and stay. Hello? Break out the BB gun and he ain't gonna hang around long. No, I'm just teasing. Some of you are like, oh my Jesus. No, it will roost there as long as you let it. Thoughts are the same way. They will roost in your mind as long as you allow them to roost. But if you bring that thought into captivity, I know the devil may be tempting you with something, and just tell the devil, I'm not going to give thought to that. I'm not going to give place to that, because that's not the way the Word of God teaches me how to live. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Get behind me. I'm not going to give place to that in my life and put that out of your mind. Don't allow it. An opportunity to set up house. We must bring every thought into captivity. How, Pastor Gary, do we do that? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Paul said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, then think on these things. Replace your thought. That's how we're transformed, by the renewing of our mind. Amen. The Word of God transforms us. It gets in us. And when we allow it to remain in us, and that's what we dwell on, and that's what we think on, and those are the things that come into our spirit, it'll transform the way we live. It'll transform the way we act. Watch your mind. Watch your thoughts. Don't give place to the enemy. Don't give place to the adversary. Number four, the fourth thing that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart, I believe that we need to be watchful of our tongue. Watchful of our tongue. Let me just share something with you this morning. The words that we speak can either build or destroy. Hello? The words that proceed from our mouth can either uplift or tear down. They can either encourage or they can annihilate. How many of you know you don't have to pull the trigger on a 45 to put somebody down? You can just open your mouth and spew poison. And it has the same kind of effect. Many, many years ago, while I was studying for the ministry, I worked for the Jim County Weed Control for 3 years. My job was to spray weed. And you know what? Our tongue can do the same thing. Just like shooting Roundup on Morning Glory. May not look like it has any effect right now. Whoever you're trying to tear down and whoever you're spewing that poison on, turn around, walk away, and they don't look any worse for the wear. Come back and look at the Morning Glory about 14 days later. It had an effect. Hello? Our words can do the same thing. I didn't know I was going to preach it like this, but you can either fertilize or you can poison. You can either encourage or you can tear down. Be careful what you say. Watch your mouth. Watch your tongue. It can either build up or destroy. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36. He said, "But this I say unto you, listen, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." And he goes on to say, "For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned." That one verse ought to give us all pause before we speak. Hello? Before we pass on gossip. Before we open our mouth and verbally assassinate someone. That one word, that one verse should cause us to pray, "Lord, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight." I don't know about you this morning, but it is my desire that when I speak, that I encourage and that I edify and that I build someone up and that I cause them to have, a heart that is encouraged. And that should be the desire of all of us. So I say to you this morning, and I believe that the Holy Spirit wanted me to challenge you this morning to watch your tongue. Be careful what you speak. Because you can either build up or you can destroy. Watch this. Lord, help me to watch my tongue. Help me to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Help me to put a guard at my lips so that nothing impure and unclean and destructive comes forth out of my lips. Amen. The psalmist prayed in Psalms 14 or 141, verse number 1 or verse number 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, at my mouth and give me more diligence." Amen. And I believe this morning that if we would be more diligent about what we speak and how we speak it, then we would see a change not only in our life, but in the lives of those that are around us. Watch our tongue. Number 5, the fifth thing that I believe the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart for us to watch is watch and pray. There are 2 times in the scriptures that we are told to watch and pray. The first one is Jesus. He says to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." How many of you face temptation on a daily basis? If I could swing both feet up, I would. We all do. How do you overcome it? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I believe if we would be more watchful and more mindful and we would be more prayerful, that we would avoid a lot of headache and a lot of heartache. Watch and pray. The second time that we are told in Scripture to watch and pray is found in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 36. And this is what it says. These are the words of Christ. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We are told to watch and pray so that we will not have to enter into the great tribulation period. Watch and pray so that we don't find ourselves overcome with temptation. Watch and pray so that we may be accounted worthy to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the day and in the hour that He comes. I can't think of anything more heartbreaking than for the Lord of glory to split the clouds of heaven and return and to be unprepared. For some, that's exactly how it's going to happen. Watch, let me come back to the words of Jesus this morning. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Five things that I believe that we need to watch. Watch our attitude. Watch our motives. Watch our thoughts. Watch our tongue. Watch and pray. Are you watching this? Are you watching this? Are you watching your attitude? Are you watching your spirit? Are you watching your tongue? Are you watching the motives of your heart and what motivates you to do what you do? Are you watching and praying? Are you waiting, anticipating, and expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ? What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Have you been watching? Maybe you are here this morning and there are some areas that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart to bring out to you that you haven't been so mindful of. You haven't been watching this. Maybe you've been watching your motives, but not your thoughts. Maybe you're watching your tongue, but not so prayerful. Hello? Bow your heads, please, all over the building. Are you watching this? Are you watching this? Or are you like me, laid back in the recliner, putting everything on autopilot? And everything's good. Everything's good. I'm okay. Everything's all right. And when the Lord comes, He catches you unaware. Don't be caught off guard this morning. Don't be caught unaware this morning. Attitude check. Are you walking in humility? Are your motives a motive to do something for the kingdom of God with a love in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are your thoughts being guarded? Is your tongue being guarded and bridled? Are you watching and praying? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you would lift up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, there's a few things that you brought to my attention this morning that I need to be watching. God sees some hands all over the building. Yes, yes. God sees hands all over the building. Anybody else, you'd lift up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, yes. Thank you. Stand to your feet while they just begin to play softly. Let me pray with you before you're dismissed. My Lord God in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your word that you've allowed us to minister today. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I have sensed, that I have felt. Thank you for every single hand that has been lifted throughout this congregation. those that will listen by way of the internet, speak to their hearts. And now, Lord, we have acknowledged our lack of watching. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bring a cleansing to our hearts, a washing of our spirit, an attentive and an aware spirit that is not ignorant of the enemy's devices. Lord, bring a fresh renewal and a fresh reviving to our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding. Open the eyes of our spirit to be mindful of these things that the Holy Spirit has brought to us today. And we will give you the praise and we will give you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name.